You're listening to Alternative to Sleeping with Ethan Allman here on WCDB Albany 90.9 FM and Comedy Pipe Network, and I'm very excited to welcome back to the program John Linnell. How's it going, John?
Hello. How's it going?
Now, I don't expect you to remember this, but this is your second time on my show. We did an interview on August 4th, 2011, so like 3.5 years ago.
Ah, well, you're very perceptive. I have an incredibly bad memory. But, you know, I mean, that's why I feel sorry for Brian Williams. You know, I think he's telling the truth. He really doesn't remember what happened.
Right. Yeah, I can't remember stuff past, you know, a few weeks ago, but obviously remembering, you know, interviewing a member of my favorite band is something I would remember. But to you, it's, well, you know, you do lots of interviews, so I wouldn't expect you to remember.
It's the fog of war, Ethan.
That's right. So I am very proud to say that I am member 101 of the Dial-A-Song Radio Network. I'm so thrilled to be part of the network.
Very good.
How has it been going? It sounds really cool that, at least for me, it's really cool to be able to claim to be part of the network and share the songs with my listeners.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think it's a brilliant idea.
Thank you very much. Yes, it's fun now for us because, in a way, at least for the first half of this year, we're kind of coasting on the material that we've already written and for the most part recorded. So we're feeling very confident right now about the stuff that's coming out. And of course, you know, if we were trying to write the songs, you know, 1 week in advance, which I think is maybe the popular perception that, you know, that we're actually just writing a new song every week and hurriedly sticking it up on Dial-A-Song. We're way too nervous to do that kind of thing. That would be like a heart attack for us.
Yeah.
But I think we have a pretty good solid like 30 odd songs that are done. And then we have to, you know, spend the beginning part of this year cooking up the rest of this stuff. But
right.
We can acquit ourselves okay.
Once you hit the 52 songs, are you going to start prepping for next year, or do you have any plans for that?
I have no idea. It's funny you ask that. I actually never have thought ahead. Cycle, you know, I think I might go lie down for a while. We haven't even really fleshed out the entire tour. We've got a tour coming after spring break.
Yep.
In April, that's, you know, about a month of shows. And then I think we're going to play some more in the fall, but we haven't really mapped it out yet. And who knows, you know, if we're feeling up for it, we could continue playing into 2016, I guess. We'll have a lot of material
right
by that time. So I don't know. We haven't really fully figured it out yet, but I'm sure we'll go back to more writing if we're not completely spent, you know.
So now how do you decide the order of, if you have 30 songs recorded right now, how do you figure out which one goes where, which one gets to release in January versus March?
Yeah, well, that's, you know, that's just one of those aesthetic choices that is like all the other choices we make. I mean full disclosure, I think Flans is the one who is thinking the hardest about those sorts of things, like album order and release order.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's much more thoughtful than I am about that kind of thing. So generally those choices are his. We did sort of front load the battle song with the stuff that we liked the best. So
okay.
The first few weeks was, you know, what we really thought was sort of top shelfy stuff. And there'll be more high quality, you know, material
right
down the road. But we're, you know, we don't want to begin with something too obscure or confusing, you know, and send out. I mean, we suppose we could. That'd be another strategy, is to put out something completely weird and unlistenable as the first Dial-A-Song, just to set people scratching their heads. Why did I Why have I bought into this?
Now, you tweeted that you'd be recording some old dial-a-song demos that Flans had recorded. Are you reviving any of your old demos for dial-a-song?
We've been sifting through our old material, and there's not, I'd say, there's not a lot that I like better now than when I first rejected it as album material. You know, there's a few things that I think are worth reconsidering, but I actually like our new material the best, you know. And in general, I think there's a thing about doing this kind of work, which is, you know, the current stuff speaks to you the most, you know. They're like, well, this is the kind of thing I like right now, you know. It's actually a, you know, it's a weird thing about for any band that's been around for a while, is that you wind up playing songs that you wrote a long time ago, and it feels a little like you're covering yourself, you know, like that somebody else wrote it and you're kind of interpreting it. And that's especially true of the stuff that we did back in the 80s. You know, I can barely put myself in that.
Well, and now you guys, which is really cool, you're doing these shows where you're playing through an entire album in order.
Yes,
Are in some
correct.
cases, are you playing songs that maybe you've never played live and you've only played once 30 years ago?
Yeah, once in the blue moon. I mean, we're gonna do. We've done the first album show a lot over the last 20 years, so we've played all the songs on the first album, you know, many, many times. We have never done the Else show before, and this is something we're putting together now. So that, and there's definitely songs on that we've never played, although we may not play every single song off of Else, but I think it'd be a fun challenge to try and tackle something that we've never done off of that album.
Offhand, do you know which ones you haven't performed before on the Else?
Let's see, let me pull out my copy of the Else here. Where is
I'm
it?
particularly interested because I'm planning to go to that show, and that's my favorite album, so I'm curious to see.
Okay, here's my CD. Let's see now. Well, you know, we did do a lot of this material. I think we did all of these songs, actually. I can't see one that we never played. We may not have played Contra Coup. That's
Okay.
possible. But we definitely played every single other song during the tour
Yeah.
following that release.
Are there any old songs that you just have had the most trouble with bringing back for an album show?
Well, the biggest ever challenge for us was just learning the entire suite of 20-second bits and fingertips, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And we dedicated a whole set of rehearsals just to learning that one song, because it was such a challenge. But I think it's one of the things where it was like almost like on a dare, like this is the hardest. This would be the hardest thing to learn.
Right.
So let's see what that's like. And then, you know, there's other ones where the instrumentation is sort of, you know, we have to kind of reorchestrate stuff
Right.
just to be able to play with our regular five piece. But you know, I think after we learned fingertips, we kind of like, well, we can probably play anything there. Back in our catalog.
Are there any that are difficult in that they're hard to memorize because the lyrics are complicated?
Yeah, well, all of it. I mean, you know, you get older and your brain isn't as springy as it was. Yeah, I think it's sometimes really challenging just memorizing lyrics, and it's, you know, I've said this a lot, it's really embarrassing to forget lyrics when you're looking out on the front row of the crowd and everybody's lip-syncing along, you know, and they all know it, they learned it.
You know, I love the ZYX song because I listened to it on repeat probably 30 times, and now I can say the alphabet backwards, so I really appreciate you guys writing that song.
Oh, yeah. I think somebody else wrote a backwards alphabet song. But I thought it was an original idea, and I think it turned out somebody else had already come up with it. But I think ours is pretty good.
I think you should get more obscure things and make songs about them for us to memorize, like the presidents or, you know, the elements, something.
Right. Yeah, well, that was, you know, I think that was something that appealed to us a long time ago, was the idea of, like, songs that are catchy but are full of information that your brain would otherwise reject. You know,
right.
You don't really want to know this stuff, but because it's set to a lyric, in a way you're kind of forced to learn it. And mm-hmm. that's even like a lyric that you how can I say it? Like, you philosophically don't agree with the lyric, but the music is so good that you kind of are singing along to something mm-hmm. that you actually don't quite. I mean, I think, like, there are a lot of songs, you know, when I was in high school that were like, this is a great song, and the lyrics are so horrible. You know, like, hit me with your best shot.
Right.
Guitar. You know, it's like, what an ugly song. Jesus Christ. But what a great guitar riff. And, you know, so that's kind of a whole category of, like, propaganda that you can get into.
Now, Weird Al has always been a fan of you guys, and the closest he ever came to a parody was a style parody, his song "Everything
uh-huh.
Everything You Know Is Wrong." Do you think that you have a song that you guys have done that would be a perfect candidate for him to parody?
We're deep inside of us in mm-hmm. in a way where we, you know, I think this is a thing about, it's a very weird thing, but it's sort of related to how, I mean, tell me if you don't agree with this, but I feel like you have a really clear idea of what your friends, how you would caricature their faces or their behavior, you know, like you have this sense of who all these people around you
mm-hmm.
look like, and you could, you know, you can imagine characters, but it's very hard to do that for yourself for some reason, at least for me. Like, I don't think of me in the same way. Like, I don't look at me and go, oh yeah, I'm that kind of person. Like,
right.
You know, like the way you look at movie actors or something, like you think of them as these kind of, you can think of them as caricatures in a way. And I think that's kind of true for being in a band. We don't know, in a way, I guess we don't know what we sound like, you know?
Right.
We know how to do what it is we do. You know, we're obviously, that's what we spend our time on. It's like doing it. But we wouldn't know how to say this is a typical, I mean, I suppose we could, if, you know, if you thought about it, but it doesn't immediately, you know, I could write a parody of a Who song or, mm-hmm. you know, whatever, just name something. And I feel like, yeah, you could do it in a way where it would be recognizable, but I don't know enough about what we seem like in the world. I don't know how we appear in the world, I guess, you know.
Right.
I don't know if that makes any sense, but
it makes sense.
It's related to that thing about how you look in the mirror and you can't really quite make yourself into that kind of stereotype that you see around you. You know, you see somebody on TV and you're like, oh, he's that kind of guy.
Right.
But you don't really feel that way about yourself. I don't know. Anyway, that's my answer.
And I think it's also particularly hard because, you know, over the span of your career, it seems as though even album to album, there's such an evolution in the music that it would be hard to pinpoint, you know, one thing to parody without.
Well, that's nice to hear you say that. I mean, I don't even know what the evolution has been exactly.
Right.
I know that I hear stuff that we did a long time ago and it sounds different to me. But I don't know if I can come up with an explanation about it. You know, I think part of this is where there was sort of an intentional thing that John and I did early on, which is we deliberately didn't define what we were doing to ourselves. You know,
mm-hmm.
And I don't think other people would have any trouble defining us, you know. but I don't think we've made any effort in that direction for ourselves. We don't know what the rules are for writing the They Might Be Giants song, or, you know, what it is we're supposed to sound like or look like or
right.
any of that. You know, we just, we try, in some ways we try deliberately to keep it as free as possible and not say, this is what we're doing. This is the kind of music we're doing. So, you know, I think that was probably a little bit on purpose. And also we were no good at maybe cooking up a formula, you know?
Right. And I think that's why you're so beloved. You know, it's just that, that sort of,
I thought it was because we were handsome.
That's part of it. That's part of it. Now, for Dial a Song, we'll eventually get an actual album that we can purchase for those of us
yes.
who like the hard copies of stuff.
Yeah. In fact, there'll be more than one, because we're going to, the first, you know, 4 months of Dial a Songs will be more or less equivalent to the first, to the first release, you know, however that should come out as a vinyl.
Mm-hmm.
You'll have a vinyl version and a, I guess, a CD. Does anybody still buy CDs? I don't know. and, you know, a download as an LP. And then there'll be more after that. We'll try and, you know, kind of systematically put everything out in a organized way.
Great.
Once the Dial a Song is finished.
Great. I'm really excited. You guys will be coming to my area. You'll be coming to the Upstate Concert Hall, in the Clifton Park.
Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize for asking. Where are you, Ethan?
I'm in Albany. Albany, New York.
Oh, okay. I saw the 518 area code. I wasn't sure.
Yep. So you'll be at the Upstate Concert Hall on April 22nd. I don't think I've ever seen you guys there before. It's always usually been the Egg or an outdoor festival.
Yeah.
So that'll be
exactly,
cool.
Exactly, yeah. Yes, looking forward to it. I actually have a little house up in the Helderberg Mountains up there, so it's
kind
of an easy commute for me. I like Albany. Albany is kind of like, it's a hard to love place, but
right.
because it's sort of, it's just familiar to me. I don't know why.
Hmm.
I have affection, unreasonable affection for Albany.
Well, that's really good to hear. It's really been a pleasure talking to you, John. Thank you so
nice
much.
Nice speaking with you, Ethan. Yeah, great. We'll look forward to that show.
Yeah. All right. We'll see you then. Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.